Numbers. I hope you don't feel like we've just made another hill and we're trekking up it, but the rest of Numbers is probably a little more difficult than what we've gotten through so far. There's been so many good things in this book, but I hope that we can at least bring out a few points here that will be beneficial to you. You know, in the previous lesson, Israel was prepared to enter the Promised Land in this way. The able-bodied men of warfare were numbered. So when they went into these places and God told them to destroy all the people, they knew who was going to be fighting and who were going to be the ones in the army. And Joshua was appointed as the commander of the people. He would replace Moses. You know, this is one of the things that Moses requested. He just wanted somebody to replace him when he was reminded that he was not going to enter the Promised Land. What a meek man Moses was. Today's lesson begins a study of their spiritual instruction. I hope that we, as we read through these various feasts and festivals, that we will at least just glean a little bit from them. The specific instruction of most of these, at least, is found in Leviticus chapter 23. And you know, if we were just going straight through the Bible, we would have already gotten them. But, you know, we aren't. We didn't go through Leviticus. But if we were, we would have already studied these. So the Lord is here beginning to instruct through Moses this new group that was younger when these things were given the first time. Beginning with verse 1, Numbers chapter 28. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Command the people of Israel and say to them, 'My offering, my food for my food offerings, my pleasing aroma, you shall be careful to offer me at its appointed time.'" I love my. You know, God's worship is about God. It's not about us. It's about Him. This was their prescribed manner. "You shall say to them, 'This is the food that you will offer to the Lord. 2 male lambs a year old without blemish, day by day as a regular offering. The one lamb you shall offer in the morning. The other lamb you shall offer at twilight. Also a tenth of an ephah of fine flour for a grain offering mixed with a quarter of a hin of beaten oil. It is a regular burnt offering which was ordained at Mount Sinai for a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. Its drink offering shall be a quarter of a hin for each lamb. In the holy place you shall pour out a drink offering of strong drink to the Lord. The other lamb you shall offer at twilight like the grain offering of the morning. And its drink offering you shall offer it as a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord." Here God calls the offering of pleasing aroma, which is what all of these refer to. You know, there were offerings of pleasing aroma. The King James, I think, says a sweet-smelling savor. Those pleasing aromas were different from the non-pleasing aromas. Not everything was a pleasing aroma to the Lord. I don't know everything about all of the offerings. You know, me and Lance were just talking about, you know, the things of the Old Testament and how we sometimes struggle because we're not under all of these rules. So we don't pay nearly as close attention to these as perhaps the Jews did. You know, they're not, and we can learn from them and they're instructive and beneficial and all of those things, but they're not relative to our worship. We didn't offer a lamb this morning and we're not planning to offer another one tonight. You know, we could sit here and debate all day, well, what is strong drink? You know, we got to offer a strong drink to this one. You know, how are we going to do that? And, you know, somebody will initially say, well, it was obviously whiskey because whiskey was made by a Baptist preacher in Kentucky. So we know that it was whiskey. Well, whiskey wasn't made back in these days. There was no distillation process, so it was something else. What was it? You know, you get into all of these things. We don't have to debate all of that because we're not under the law. We worship in spirit and in truth, and our instruction for worship is found in the New Testament. But we still can glean things off of these. I say all that to say I don't understand everything about the pleasing aromas and those that weren't a pleasing aroma. But this is what the commentators that I read after, at least, seem to think. The ones that were sweet-smelling savors or pleasing aromas to the Lord, they represented Christ in the fact that the Father was pleased with the Son. When he went to be baptized, he went down into the water. You know, of course, John, you know, initially didn't want to baptize him. John said, look, I have a need to be baptized to you. Jesus said, do it, because we need to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus was baptized. The heavens opened, and what did the Lord say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So the Lord, the Father, was pleased with the Son even before he was crucified, right? And that's what they seem to have the idea, that the sweet-smelling aromas were when he was just pleased with the Son. Those that didn't spoke of his sacrifice for sin. We will see some of those when we read through the Old Testament, of course. The burnt offerings represent Jesus in that he gave all for us. When they burn an offering, what was left? Nothing. It all ascended in smoke up to the Father. So when something was burned, it represented the fact that Jesus gave all for us. Something to consider anyway. Verses 8 and 9 and 11 through 15 contain offerings that were not revealed in Leviticus. We will merely hit these and move on a little bit. On the Sabbath day, two male lambs a year old without blemish. Of course, without blemish, the reason for that is because Jesus was without sin. So these were to not have any problems, any cripple or anything like that. They had to be, at least from the way that they looked, they had to be perfect. Two-tenths of an ephah of fine flour for a grain offering mixed with oil and its drink offering. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath beside the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. So the things that we just read about that were to be done every day, on the Sabbath they had to do this too. At the beginning of your months, verse 11, you shall offer a burnt offering to the Lord, two bulls from the herd, one ram, seven male lambs a year old without blemish, also three-tenths of an ephah of fine flour for a grain offering mixed with oil for each bull, two-tenths of fine flour for a grain offering mixed with oil for the one ram, and a tenth of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering for every lamb, for a burnt offering with a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. Their drink offering shall be half a hin of wine for a bull, a third of a hin for a ram, and a quarter of a hin for a lamb. This is the burnt offering of each month throughout the months of the year. Also one male goat for a sin offering to the Lord. It shall be offered besides the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. So all of these were not instructed in the book of Leviticus. These are additional offerings that they were to make. The ones through 11 and 15, they were to offer each month at the beginning of the month, just to sort of usher in a month. You say, man, this is tough. Yeah, it is. So that's the law. We don't want to be under the law. We ought to be tickled to death to be under grace. I mean, thank the Lord to be on this side of the cross. These people were expected to keep every bit of these things perfectly and to the T, and they didn't. They didn't, and they didn't try. For the most part of their history, they gave no effort. Are these things doable? Sure. They had tons and tons of animals, plenty of wine. The Lord had blessed them in a place that flowed with milk and honey. They had all kind of grapes. They could produce wine. They had all of the things necessary. They chose not to do the right thing. And that's what we see of the nation of Israel. You say, why you want to read every one of these verses and didn't want to read all the verses in the census? Well, because these instruct us of how detailed the law is. Verse 16, these are the offerings that are to be offered during the Passover week. On the 14th day of the first month is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of this month is a feast. 7 days shall be 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, but offer a food offering and a burnt offering to the Lord, two bulls from the herd, one ram, and seven male lambs a year old. See, they are without blemish. Also their grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil, three-tenths of an ephah shall you offer for a bull, and two-tenths for a ram. A tenth shall you offer for each of the seven lambs. Also one male goat for a sin offering to make atonement for you. You shall offer these beside the burnt offering of the morning, which is for a regular burnt offering. In the same way, you shall offer daily for 7 days the food of a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. It shall be offered beside the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. On the seventh day, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. So these are all of the offerings that were to be offered during the Passover week. Now here's something that you can relate to. This is the week Jesus was crucified. He was crucified while all of these things were going on. If you will recall, there was a Sabbath day to begin this week. It was not the regular Sabbath. This was another Sabbath worked into their calendar. They weren't allowed to do any work on the first day of this week. Notice what it says. Back on the 14th day of the month is the Lord's Passover, and on the 15th day, which really sort of begins that 7 day period, the month is a feast. 7 days shall be unleavened bread. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no ordinary work. This is why they wanted Jesus off the cross so quickly. If you'll recall, one of the Gospels, and I think it's John, don't quote me on that, actually says that that Sabbath, the Passover Sabbath, was a high Sabbath. A high day. It was not the weekly Sabbath. That's why a lot of people have the idea that Jesus was crucified on Friday. But Friday doesn't work for the math. He was in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale. 3 days and three nights, Friday to Sunday morning, don't get it. It had to be earlier than that. How do we explain that? Because it was this Sabbath, not the weekly Sabbath. It was this annual Passover Sabbath that began the Passover week. Brian's got a great lesson on that. If you want to learn something about it, go talk to Brian. Jesus partook in the Passover celebration with the apostles in the upper room when he celebrated what should have been the last Passover. Because the Passover had been pointing forth to what? His death, burial, and resurrection. Should have been the last Passover. But the Jews rejected Jesus as the Messiah. So they kept on keeping Passover. They didn't believe that their Messiah had come. He also instituted, as he was partaking in this, he instituted the Lord's Supper. By the way, all males were required to attend this feast. This is one of three feasts that all males were required to attend. Now some would say, well, that just means the men were better than the women. Not at all, not at all. That's not the point. The males were required to attend because they were the heads of the family. They represented the family. That's the reason that they were required to attend. Not to mention how difficult it would be for dad, mom, and 15 children to all come into Jerusalem. You see, that's how many they had back in those days. So that's why all the males were required to attend. Verse 26, on the day of first fruits, when you offer a grain offering of new grain to the Lord at your feast of weeks, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, but offer a burnt offering and a pleasing aroma to the Lord, two bulls from the herd, one ram, seven male lambs a year old, also their grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for each bull, 2/10 for one ram, and 1/10 for each of the seven lambs, with one male goat to make atonement for you. Beside the regular burnt offering and its grain offering, you shall offer them and their drink offering. See that they are without blemish. So this is the Feast of Weeks that is discussed here. This is also known as the Feast of Pentecost. Where do we learn about Pentecost? Acts chapter 2. This is the feast that was going on in Acts chapter 2. Pentecost just means 50th. And it occurred 50 days after the Passover. By the way, at this time, new grain was to be offered. Notice in verse 26, on the day of the first fruits, when you offer a grain offering of new grain to the Lord, this was to be the first fruits, the new grain. Guess what we find? Acts chapter 2. The first fruits of the Lord's saints of this age saved. Day of Pentecost. Just a freak accident, I'm sure. No. The Lord is specific. Jesus died at exactly the time that the Passover lamb was being slain. How could he eat the Passover lamb and die at the time that it was being slain. That don't make sense. Except that the Jews at this time were split into two groups who disagreed on when the Passover started and when the lamb was to be slain. Jesus kept it with the first group. The second group offered it when he was on the cross. Man, the Lord is so amazing that he works things out the way that he does. And that Pentecost and the first fruits of the children of God in this age were saved there at the day of Pentecost, the same day that the first fruits were offered in the law. That's just amazing. And that's how specific God is. So maybe we can learn a little bit here. This is the second feast, by the way, that all males were required to attend. And a lot of times the males would come to Jerusalem for Passover and just hang around for a couple months. And stay there until Pentecost, because they were coming from a long way away. And that's why so many people would be in Jerusalem at that time. Jesus was there during this time, by the way, too. Resurrected and alive. And at one time, some 500 plus people saw him. Something to think about between those two instances that we see the Lord. Chapter 29, the first day of the seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. It is a day for you to blow the trumpets. You shall offer a burnt offering for a pleasing aroma to the Lord, one bull from the herd, one ram, seven male lambs, a year old without blemish. Also their grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for the ram, 1/10 for each of the seven lambs, with one male goat for a sin offering to make atonement for you, beside the burnt offering of the new moon and its grain offering, and the regular burnt offering and its grain offering, and their drink offerings according to the rule for them, for a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. Now, you know, if we were doing this, we'd just make a chart. And we would just say, okay, on the offerings, every time you got to do this. And then when something different a little bit, we'd notate that. That's not the way God inspired this to be written. Why not? This is tedious, isn't it? To reread it every time, exactly the same, over and over again. It's tedious. The law is tedious. All who labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. That's what Jesus said. See, so by seeing how tedious the law is, the way it's written, we learn how much rest that we really have in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's here on purpose this way. This is not an accident. This passage contains the offerings for the Feast of Trumpets. Now, this blowing of the trumpets ended their agricultural year, and it marked the beginning of their civil year. And it actually called them to prepare for the Day of Atonement that's on the 15th of this same month. This feast, even today, I think, is called Rosh Hashanah. So if you hear the Jews talking about that, it's the Feast of Trumpets. Verse 7, on the 10th day of this seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation and afflict yourselves. And afflict yourselves. You shall do no work. You shall offer a burnt offering to the Lord, a pleasing aroma, one bull from the herd, one ram, seven male lambs a year old. See, they are without blemish. Their grain offering shall be of fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for a bull, 2/10 for one ram, 1/10 for each of the seven lambs. Also one male goat for a sin offering besides the sin offering of atonement, and the regular burnt offerings and its grain offerings and their drink offerings. Though the majority of the festivals were joyful, the Day of Atonement was not that. This day they were to afflict themselves, it says here. This day is a reminder of the evil of sin and how we are afflicted with it. You know what we are to find in Christ? Joy. Joy. We are. We ought to serve in joy. We ought not constantly be in mourning. We ought not constantly be in mourning for who we are and what we are, but we ought to be joyful because Christ has delivered us from who and what we are. But we still need reminded. And that's why one day a year, they didn't have a joyful feast. One day a year, they had a feast in which they were to afflict themselves. This day was a reminder of the evil of sin and how we're all afflicted with it. It's also called Yom Kippur. By the way, what about the Lord's Supper? What does it remind us of? The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ that, unfortunately, because of our sin, was necessary. On the 15th day of the month, on the 15th day of the seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, but you shall keep a feast to the Lord 7 days, and you shall offer a burnt offering, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord, 13 bulls from the herd, 2 rams, 14 male lambs a year old. They shall be without blemish, and their grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil, 3 tenths of an ephah for each of the 13 bulls, 2 tenths for each of the 2 rams, and 1/10 for each of the 14 lambs, also 1 male goat for a sin offering besides the regular burnt offering, its grain offering, and its drink offering. On the second day, 12 bulls from the herd, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, a year old without blemish, with the grain offering and the drink offerings for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs in the prescribed quantities. Also 1 male goat for a sin offering beside the regular burnt offering and its grain offering and their drink offerings. On the third day, 11 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs a year old without blemish with the grain offering and the drink offerings for the bulls, for the rams, for the lambs in the prescribed quantities. Also 1 male goat for a sin offering besides the regular burnt offering and its grain offering and its drink offering. On the fourth day, 10 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs a year old without blemish. Do you get the point? Verse 26, on the fifth day, 9 bulls. On 29, on the sixth day, 8 bulls. 32, on the seventh day, 7 bulls. 35, on the eighth day, you shall have a solemn assembly. You shall not do any ordinary work. You shall offer a burnt offering, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. 1 bull, 1 ram, 7 male lambs a year old without blemish. The grain offering and the drink offerings of the bull for the ram, for the lambs in the prescribed quantities. Also 1 male goat for a sin offering beside the regular burnt offering and its grain offerings and its drink offerings. The Feast of Booths was the third feast that all Jewish males were required to attend. It's also known as Sukkoth. Solomon's temple was dedicated during this feast. It was at this feast that Jesus declared, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." During this feast, all the Jews were actually required to dwell in temporary booths, signifying God's miraculous deliverance from Egypt. Their dwelling in tents was a temporary thing. They were to dwell in them temporarily. That's what happened when they left Egypt. It was a temporary dwelling for them. Here's an interesting point. Scholars believe that Jesus was actually born during this time. You say, wait a minute. I thought he was born December 25th. That's the day that the birth of Jesus is celebrated in our day and age, but it is most unlikely that he was actually born that day. Some scholars believe that Jesus was actually born during this feast, because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Greek word skeno is here translated dwell, and it just means to fix one's tabernacle, or to tabernacle, or to dwell in a booth. The idea is that Jesus temporarily laid aside His glory and took on the form of a man. So He temporarily dwelt in a fleshly body, in a tabernacle. It's often said that Jesus tabernacled among men. He dwelt in that. Many do believe that He was born during this. You say, well, He was crucified during Passover. During the Feast of the first fruits of our age are saved and added to the church there in Jerusalem. That's really specific. Do you really think it's far-fetched then to believe that the tabernacles or the booths actually represent the Lord Jesus Christ, considering that he died at the exact same time that the Passover lamb was slain, it's really not far-fetched to believe that he may have been born at this exact time here as well. I don't know that. We don't know that. There's no way to know that. But a number of scholars do hold that opinion. I mean, I don't have any more proof of that than December 25th, but we need to understand that oftentimes when we are celebrating the Lord's Supper, for instance, it's not the exact day, hour, and time and manner in which the Lord celebrated it. We're not in an upper room. We're not walking out onto the Mount of Olives. You know, we follow the prescribed way as much as we can, but it's different. We're not given every jot and tittle about those things. Those are difficult verses for us to struggle through there. The law is hard. Grace is not. Grace is easy. But it was rough on Christ. It was rough on Christ. He accomplished it all for us. And He is our high priest. And all of these law things, thank the Lord, gone. Gone. I'm asking you to stand, if you will. Daryl, will you please dismiss us, sir?